would appreciate your cooperation. Take your songbook this morning, turn to page number 381. Let's stand together as we sing Stand Up for Jesus, 381.
Everybody ought to know. Because that is his nature, his character. There's none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. But there's one good. We've got a good, good God. Great and almighty God who loves us, who cares for us, sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary, that we, if we believe on him, might have eternal life and never perish. What a good God we have through all the difficulties of life. Good song, girls. Good to see you here. If you're visiting with us this morning, if you're a first-time visitor, we're grateful that you are here. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning. If you're a returning visitor, we're so glad that you're here and you came back to worship again with us. And we're just glad to be able to be in the house of God, to be able to sing to our Lord and Savior, to praise his name, for he is worthy. And it's good to be able to open up our Bibles and study, hear the preaching of the Word of God, and be able to grow in grace and honor and wisdom before man and God. So it's a good thing to be here in the house of God. So thank you for being with us today. Don't forget, teenagers, please see Sister Carrie after church. Security team, also see Brother Daniel after the security team after church this morning. There needs to be a small security meeting after church this morning. So please see them. Also, Brother Ethan is overseeing the Faith and Family Night basketball game. If you want to go and you're interested, please see him. Ages 12 and up can go by themselves. If you're below that, you have to have a parent to travel with you. That will be on March 2nd. The Magic are playing the Detroit Pistons that night. So it'll be traveling up by the church bus, going up to the Amway Center there. So if you're interested, I think it says tickets are as low as $12. But he needs to see you today because this has to be turned in by Wednesday. So if you want or are interested in that, Faith and Family Night at the Amway Center with the Orlando Magic Detroit Pistons, please see Brother Ethan. That'd be a big, a good time to. It's a Friday night, and I think the game starts at 7. Good to have Brother Robinson with us, missionary to Haiti. Thank you for stopping and being with us. We're glad that you are here in our services. May God bless you as you travel. About Brother Scott's back. Yes.
We're going to take a bus to be here.
If you can drive, you're fine. But if you're 13, you probably need to ride. But we'll have to work that out. If you're coming from work and you have to go straight down there, basically what it will keep you from paying the parking fee. The bus will be one fee for everybody. I think the guy real right behind the Amway Center let us park there for $10. We had, I think, 16 or 18 people on the bus, and that's not a bad price. So that we can work out, brother. If they want to drive their own car, that's perfectly all right as well. They'll just be responsible for the parking. There, Brother Scott, Sister Stephanie drove up and dropped off those 25 cases of Creole Bibles to the Graham Medical Center, and they made it back safe and sound. Those will be headed down to Haiti for a medical missionary trip, so we're glad that we was able to get those out. Thank you all for being part of the Scripture Press and doing your part, whether giving, praying, or going, or distributing, or collating. I tell you, this year we've had five that have started coming regularly throughout the week, binding or collating or boxing, and we had a good turnout last Tuesday of every month. We have a work night over at the Scripture Press building over to my left, the back portion of the gym there, and we had, I think, over 25 that came that night, so we had a good turnout. There's some good, a good thing that the Lord has allowed us to do is to be able to print and publish and distribute His Word. And so praise God for that. Don't forget the banquet coming up this Saturday. If you haven't purchased your tickets yet, please do so. You say, well, I'm not even going to come. It's okay. Purchase one anyway. It'll help a teenager get to camp and sit under a whole week of preaching, away from television, PlayStation, PS4s, and all that other craziness. It will get them around God and things of God for a solid week. So even if you don't want to come, purchase a ticket anyway. It'll go to a good cause. That's getting young people, which this world is fighting for them daily, trying to destroy their lives, and to get them around the things of God for a whole week there. But if you do purchase one, I'd encourage you to come. You'll have a good time. They do a good job. They put on a good meal. And they also do quite a bit of entertainment. And there's a free giveaway thing. I think if you win one of those things, you go away way ahead of what you, like one of the gifts is a $50 Publix gift card. So if you win that one, you come way ahead. I mean, that's a pretty good deal. To come there, just free, just do it, just be a part of it, be involved in what the Lord is doing around here. All right, let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to be talking about matters of the heart. It is that month, isn't it? So we're going to deal with some things. Matters of the heart, the thought. Took the skeleton of a sermon that Brother Paul Chappell preached and adapted it and adopted it into what we could use here at Lock Haven for this week, this hour, and this month. We'll be looking at matters of the heart for a while, church. And so we got to make sure some things that our hearts are right. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 6:21, I believe the verse is, where our treasure is, there is our heart also. And so we gotta make sure our heart's right. We have too many educated people calling themselves Christians, educated in the mind, and the heart is far from God. They've never been born again. Their heart has never been recreated in Christ Jesus, the hope of glory. And so the heart is wicked above all. Who could know it? And so I want you to think about this as we study this out and look at this. Matters of the heart, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know, one of the greatest hoaxes of all time is this here thought: if I have more, I'll do more. That's farce, dear friend. Listen, there's been 24 hours in a day for as long as there's been days. The evening and the morning was the first day, way back in Genesis. The evening and the morning was the first day. He traveled around the time clock, and we had 24 hours there. If I had more ability, I would do more. Well, that's not true either, because we're going to do with what we have, regardless of how much we wish we had. You know, I'll be honest with you. I wished, God, I wished I had the body of John Cena. Have the head. But the body's far gone. Chest done dropped down in the drawers and the hips done got wide. Just that's how it works. It's life. I wish I could run like Usain Bolt. In my mind, boy, I can't even get my mind to get that fast. My mind won't even race that fast. So, I wish. Wish is not getting us nowhere, dear friend. I'll get this all worked out. I'll get busy at it. Boy, if I just had more, I would give a little more. You know, I'd get a little bit more involved in giving. Now listen, this morning, please do not cut me off. Don't cut me off, because this subject that I'm fixing to speak about, some people take it and run to the far end. We're going to talk about stewardship this morning and try to get a basic concept of Christian stewardship. And what I want you to get from this is mainly that we need to trust God. We got to get to the point where we trust God, that God knew exactly what He was talking about when He wrote verses like this in the Bible. He knew what He was talking about. He is an all-knowing God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. Now listen, the definition of a steward is simple. It's one that manages the affairs of another. And I'm going to tell you this morning, dear friend, if you are born again, you are not your own. You belong to God. God bought you and purchased you and redeemed you off the slave block of sin and made you part of His family. He owns you and He lives within you and you are His. And therefore, on this earth, we are managing what rightly belongs to Him, and that's this body. Now this body's a body of flesh, and it's weak. The flesh is weak, and you know, the spirit is very, very willing to serve God. But dear friend, what's going to succeed in our life is that which we feed the most. And to be honest with you, dear friend, most of the time we're feeding the flesh way over the spirit. And you know, we're not exercising and discerning the scriptures and the Word of God. So a Christian steward. We got to get to the point where we acknowledge that God is the owner. If I'm saved, God owns this body, and we are just managing it from the time we wake up in the morning throughout the day, and we go to sleep. We're still managing it. What do you mean? Because the things we feed in our mind throughout the day while we are conscious, we subconsciously think about. And many times, some of the things that we think about in our sleep, what we call dreams, is because we fed it throughout the day in the media, in the music, in the reading materials, in the conversations that we might have. Even through the night while we're sleeping, we're responsible. The Bible says, bringing every thought into captivity. So we got to get to that point where we understand that we are just simply managing what rightly belongs to God. I'll be honest with you, dear friend, if I was in charge of myself many times, I'd done fired myself several times over. God's gracious. God's merciful. God is long-suffering, and God is gentle, and God is forbearing, and God is willing to come around and cultivate and to chisel and to work and to get us to a point that we reflect and are created and brought into the image of His Son. He desires that we reflect Christ in our life. Now, a faithful Christian steward must trust God with all of our heart. We've got to get to the point where we're not closing the little closet door off in our heart. Say, God, You can have everything else. This little bit here, this is mine. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We've got to get to the point, dear friend, that we are proving by our daily life that God is God. Now let me preface it this way. It doesn't matter how I live or what I do, God is still God. But we are the only epistle, we're the only Bible that many folks around us will ever pick up and read. Is your life and the way you're living and the things you're doing, is it proven to this world and to ourselves that God is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, especially of our life? Especially of our life. We've got to get to the point where we trust Him in a personal way. First off, dear friend, if you're not saved this morning, the Bible says in 1 John 5:13, "These things I have written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." He's written the Word of God that we may know, may have understanding, and that we have a no-so salvation, that through Christ, we're saved. We're His. This has got to be personal. There's too many of us, dear friend, we're parasites. We're living off the religion and the activities of other Christians, and we think, well, if I get around them and if I associate with them, if I spend time with them, it's going to wear off on me, dear friend. It didn't wear off on Judas Iscariot. He associated with Jesus Christ Himself on a daily basis. Died. Lifted up his eyes in hell. Because he had never had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he knew here. He knew in his mind. He had saw the miracles. He had saw the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But his heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made. And with the tongue we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And we have sinned and we have turned ourselves away from God. And we are a transgressor of God's Word. And God Himself made a way back to Himself through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's got to be personal. I mean, it's about personal salvation, not because Dad and Mom is, not because I'm a member of such and such church. I told you this the other day. Dear friend, I believe that hell itself has a bus stop. Right outside of churches, all over the place, picking up members. Because they're putting their faith and trust in works of righteousness. They're putting their faith and trust in their membership in the church. They're putting their faith and trust in the fact they sing in the choir. They're putting their faith and trust in water baptism. They're putting their faith and trust in the things of this flesh. When Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Dear friend, if you're not saved this morning, Jesus loves you. And you can know Him as your personal Lord and Savior. Lay aside the works of the flesh. If you depend upon the flesh, He's going to say, "Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you." It's got to be personal. It's got to be personal. Dear friend, do what the Bible says in Hebrews 13:5. Turn with me over there. Hebrews 13:5. Hold your place in Proverbs. We'll come right back and look at there. Hebrews 13:5. The thought is this. We're proving by our life that God is who He says He is. He says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I wonder this morning, dear friend, if you're saved, you profess salvation, has there been any change that's come in your life? Is your life proving that God's a God of power? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation, or let your life, let your conversation be without covetousness. I wonder how many times will we look around and look at all the things that other people have and we're not content with what God has blessed us with. I wish I had a better home. Thankfully you got a tent to live in, dear friend. Jesus didn't have a rock to lay his head on. He said foxes had holes. I wish I had better kids. I wish I had a better job. I wish. Dear friend, if you've got Jesus Christ living within you, the hope of glory, you have all that belongs to God. And we're heir, co-heir, joint heir with Jesus Christ. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Is your life proven that God is? who he is? Is your life proven that what Proverbs chapter 13, chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thy own understanding? How many times have we done that? I ain't never in my life seen folks, and I've done it myself, I'm guilty as I'm sure as I'm standing here. Got myself off in a deep old mess. Tell God, God, if you give me the answer, I'll do right. I'll just follow. Somebody shares me a scripture, shows me the Word of God, shows me the principle and precepts of the Word of God, and I said, wow, that just don't make sense. What you did didn't make sense getting you where you're at. It's like that's insanity. It's like cutting the board again, thinking you're going to get an extra inch on it. Can't keep cutting the board, dear friend. What got you in that mess was yourself alone. God didn't lead you down into temptation, into the trials of iniquity, into the depths of sin. God said, I'll set your foot on a solid rock where it slips not. What happens? We lean to our own understanding. Well, I can figure this out. Yeah, right. I can figure that out. Then we got to, not only we got to let our lives prove to others that God is God. And again, I'm going to say this. He's still going to be God if you choose to live a backslidden way. You're not going to make, listen, we're not going to make Him any more God. But this is what is required in stewards, that a man be found faithful. Secondly, I'd help you to understand, I hope you understand this, is that we've got to get to the point where we trust Him entirely. With a whole heart. With everything that's within us. That we're not leaning into our own understanding. Look at Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Look at verse 26. Proverbs 28, verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Well, why does the Bible say it like that? Because the heart is wicked above all. Who could know it? The heart leads us in strange ways and strange manners. We can't follow the heart because the heart changes because it's full of emotions. It's full of sin. It's full of wickedness. It's full of our desires. Look in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. Talking about matters of the heart. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Dear friend, I've never in my life understood how a Christian can trust God with their soul for eternity, but refuses to lay their body on the altar of sacrifice for God. You got to trust. You got to get to the point, dear friend, where you trust God with everything, and that includes your body. Just lay it up there and say, Lord, you bought me. I'm yours. Trust Him with your bodies. James 1:17. James chapter 1, verse 17. Trust Him with yourself. Trust Him with your possessions. James chapter 1, verse 17. But it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Your possessions, dear friend, your body, your possessions, why don't we hold them back on God? Listen, our time, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15 says redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Our time, we've got to trust God with our time. We've got to trust God with our gifts and our talents. Look in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Boy, the choir looked good today. I don't know what in the world Brother Rockwell did when I was gone, but I'm going to bring him back. And some of you sing. Some of you, you know you got the talent to sing and the ability to sing, but you won't commit to being faithful to practice. 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Well, why are you not trusting your talents to God? I have no idea why you're not. With everything within us, we've got to trust God. I mean, everything. We've got to let our lives prove that God is God of our hearts, God of our lives, the Savior of our soul. We got to get to the point where we trust Him entirely. Ourselves laying upon the altar of sacrifice, which is our reasonable service, the Bible says in Romans 12:1. Trust Him with our possessions. Every good gift comes down from God. Oh, I got this myself. I've earned this, this, this. No, you didn't, dear friend. It came from God. Sometimes we think we got all this stuff. We get everything we have. We put it in a can. We sit on the lid. We don't let it out. What you have, dear friend, is because of the goodness of God. The time that we have. 24 hours a day. God could have gave us 7 hours and said, do the same work. But He gave us 24 hours. And a plan. Go to sleep at night. Quit staying up on Facebook and Twitter and PlayStation and talking with people over in China on your games. Sleep. So you wake up refreshed. Instead of going to school, falling asleep on the desk, drooling at the mouth and your friends laughing at you. Instead of trying to sneak off in the corner at work to get a cat nap. Sleep when you're supposed to sleep. Work when you're supposed to work. And put God always first. Always first. Your time. There ain't nobody in here got no marking on time. Hey, even the White House can't take that from you. Belongs to God. He set it up and it's going to stay that way. 24 hours. The gifts. Let me read this one again. 1 Peter 4:10. I don't want y'all to be mad at me because I know some of you swole up like a blowfish right now. For 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Listen, we've got this all crooked and backwards and wrong. For some reason, we think stewardship's all about raising money. We think stewardship is just about all raising money. Because some of you are going, oh, good night alive. He's fixing to talk. Yeah, we're going to get there in a minute. I had to tease you up a little bit. So we got there. Get you all ready for that one. But it's not, dear friend. Stewardship is about raising Christians to trust God. Because when we trust God, dear friend, giving is not even a secondary thought. It's just obedience. Our time, our gifts, our talents. You know what you're saying? When you have the talents to minister to others, you have been received a gift from God to be able to minister to others and be able to get up in that choir and be a blessing to others, and you refuse to, you say, you know what you're saying? You don't trust God.
I ain't trusting God with that. He don't know what he's talking about. Gave me the ability to sing. If I can understand if you sing like me. Some of you got good voices, refuse to do right. Preacher ain't telling me to wear no tie. If that's keeping you from serving God, you're in big trouble. Grow up. Pull the pacifier out and pull your diaper off, put your big boy pants on, and say, thank you, God, for saving me. I went to play golf the other day. You know what they had? A big old sign, Brother Dave. A big old sign. Brother Jones, you know what they had? A big old sign at the golf course. You're not playing golf on this course without a collared shirt. If you have a hat, wear it forward. No blue jeans, Brother Hector. At a golf course! Brother, sister, tomorrow, you know what I saw? Folks popping down money. Collared shirt on. No blue jeans on. Hats all folded. Why? Because they wanted to do it. Because they enjoyed. You know why you get mad whenever I ask you to dress right and do right in the house of God? Ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do. Go to work at FedEx and wear a UPS shirt. I bet you won't have a job for long. Verse 6 and 8. Go back to our text. If I done made y'all mad, so mad now, it's gonna be, Lord, I have to recover y'all. Sister Donna, what's that thing where you give the shot? Defibrillator? We're going to have to defibrillate some of them or they're going to run up here and start biting on them. They think Stephen's up here preaching the book of Acts. Mad, upset. Tell me, wait. God help us. God help us. What did I tell y'all to go to? Proverbs something? 3. Proverbs 3. Here we go. 6, 7, and 8. Let's move on. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Ooh. In all our ways acknowledge him. In all our ways acknowledge him. That's verse 6, in case you're not there yet. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. We got to get to the point, dear friend, where we are trusting the principles of God. There's not a word of... Listen, dear friend, let me help you this. There's not a principle or precept in the Word of God that is to harm you. It's to help. Protect. To watch over. To help us to reflect Christ. Look in Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. I was planning on letting y'all out here right at 12 o'clock. This is good stuff here. Jeremiah chapter 10, it's okay. The other church is already in line up there at the restaurant. You'll just be standing outside in the heat. Let's keep going. Keep you in the AC. Jeremiah 10, 23, sitting on padded pews. Jeremiah 10, 23, the Bible says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We can't do it. We can't do it on our own. Left to ourselves, dear friend, we are, there's a way that's in the right of the man. And what does the Bible say? The ways thereof are what? Death. You notice back there in Proverbs 3:6, it was like it included everything. It was like God just covered it all in all thy ways. And all, listen, God will never lead us wrong. He'll never put us down the wrong path. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 37:5, it says, I have been young, now I'm old. I've been young, now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He's not. We've got to get to the point where we trust the principles and precepts of the Word of God. And we stop in reverence and say, Lord, you are well able to protect me and to lead me and to guide me. How does that happen? Because I acknowledge God in all my ways. And according to the scripture there, dear friend, when I acknowledge God in all my ways, dear friend, it is health, my very health is affected. That's the Bible says. Maybe you get another interpretation. Let's go back and read it, Proverbs chapter 4. And the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, verse 5, and lean not of thy own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, depart from evil. And verse 8, it, what? What it just talked about, shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. My very health is affected. My personal health is affecting the way I interact with God. Why? Because He's God. He created us in His image. He knows what's good for us, knows what's best for us, and He will not lead us in the wrong way. We got to get to the point, dear friend, that we acknowledge that His way and His principles, His precepts are the best for us. And then the promises. Are we proving His promises day by day? Listen, God wants us to honor Him first. Honor Him first. And go back to our text, because we're almost done. I'm speeding up. I spent a little bit of time there, but had a little bit of fun. But we're going to speed up and get done with this quick. Look at verse number 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy press shall burst out with new wine. God wants us to honor Him first. Honor the Lord with your substance. I wonder how often do we, as we get ready for our day and our month, and even here at the church, when we're doing the church calendar, you know, we did the annual calendar, just turned it out. Boy, I tell you, I stopped back and I paused. I said, I wonder how much did I put in emphasis on God first? Or did, as I went through the year and I did the calendars, was it all those fun activities plugged in first? I wonder in my own life, and I thought about this as I pondered, in my own life, in my own scheduling, where's my priorities? Am I honoring God with my substance? My being, my things, and all that's within me, my strength, my might, am I honoring Him with the first fruits? Am I doing that? Are you honoring Him with your first fruits, your time, your talent? Or are we giving Him the leftovers, like it says in Malachi, like we carry like a blind, when they used to do the sacrifices and stuff, did we carry a blind lamb up there and say, Lord, here you go? Is that what we're doing? Is it serving God? And if it's inconvenient, we're just not going to do it? The first fruits, with the strength. You know what it talks about? In the Bible says that it's good to serve God in our youth, when our eyes aren't fading. Some of you young guys around here, you're so consumed with this world. And I got to thinking, I wonder why. Maybe because we older men haven't taught the younger men. That's a biblical principle. Older men teach the younger men. Are we older men, gentlemen in the Lord? Are we not serving God like we should? Is God not first in our life? So therefore they have no example. They're just following along just like we are. Blind leading the blind. These young ladies, they're consumed.
with the cares of this world. I wonder, is it because our elderly leader are not teaching them to honor God first with our first fruits, which includes giving financially, time, talents, being available. Lord, I thank you for what you've done in my life. And Lord, so here am I. I'm yours. My first. So I'm going to put down my first. God first. God first.
Look in Proverbs 11. We're last verse, I think, here. Proverbs 11. Verse 24. Proverbs 11 and verse 24. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. You know, the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Matters of the heart. I wonder, church, this morning in February 2018, does God have the throne of our hearts? Can we honestly say that by our life we are proving that we have a God that is mighty and marvelous beyond comprehension? Are the principles that we find in the precepts in the Word of God, are we proving them in our own life? We're trying them, and we're being doers of the Word, not hearers only. And the promises of God, are we trying them and proving them? We like the ones that talk about, you know, eternal rewards, and boy, they're a blessing. But we live in a body of flesh that is amongst this world, and God said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And go out and reflect Christ. Are we doing that? It matters of the heart. It's different. If our heart is not right, there is nothing that I can do to encourage you, to prompt you, to push you. You have to get to the point where it says, like in Revelation, you've left your first love. You got to return to the first love. What should be our first love? God. For God so loved the world. Let's stand to our feet. It's about nice clothes. The pianist is on the way. Brother Jim's going to lead us in a song of invitation. Perhaps this morning you realize you have never had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. If you come this morning, we'll take the Bible, we'll show you how you know you can have eternal life. I'll be right down here. We will not embarrass you. We will not call you out. We'll take you aside. We'll show you from the Word of God how you can know that you have eternal life. Perhaps you're a Christian, that you have gotten caught up with the cares of this world, and you refuse to relinquish the reins of your heart back to God. I ask you to surrender this morning. Surrender to the Lord.